Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good morning out there. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of stuff. It's back. We do this about once a month, once every 2 months. Our favorite segment, What's on Jared's Mind?
I got one thing on my mind.
Well.
And we'll talk about it.
Hold it.
And we'll talk about it.
So we'll have that at the end of the show. Yesterday, a troubling announcement from the NFL. Calvin Ridley. You know, he kind of quit in after a few games, claimed mental health. He was working on his mental health, which, you know, what have you. That's fine for the receiver for the Falcons. Then yesterday it comes out that he has been suspended for the entirety of the 2022 season because of gambling on football.
You know, that's no good.
Looks like, well, you know, it's pretty interesting to me. Obviously, the NFL is policing this as it started to come out how they caught him. And he was making wagers through an app away from, you know, a casino. So the NFL's obviously got some pretty good policing measures. Is it hypocritical of the NFL? Because if you've noticed anything over the last two or three years, one, there's a team in Las Vegas now, and two, the idea, you know, it was such a taboo for announcers or pregame shows or any of that to even mention lines or, you know, any of the gambling stuff. And now what do you see on the bottom scroll of every pregame show?
The line.
And so that's the NFL as a whole has clearly embraced the gambling dollars. So what is it hypocritical of them? It's also franchise tag day. There's already been a few tags slapped on some players, one baffling one, and then one you probably could see coming up there in Kansas City. So we'll talk about that. 2A through 4A state tournament brackets. We really didn't get to hit on that very much yesterday as we were recapping what happened in Class A and Class B. So we'll kind of go through there. Merritt Oilerettes are obviously on that 2A girls state tournament bracket. Look at what their road looks like to try to hoist the gold ball up in the big house where they'll be playing throughout the run. Also, what gets going and when. So we'll have that right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Got a couple of special things going on. One tonight, one on Thursday. We're going to have a special guest on Thursday, Brian Richardson from over at Sayre. They've got a really cool deal coming up this weekend, a little skills camp for some kids and also a game going there at the at Sayre High School that I'll preview. He'll be on Thursday to talk about it. And so that, there's that. There's Paragon TV. We'll be live tonight at the Five County Banquet. We'll hit that as well. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all the radio stations, all three of them here in Elk City. You've got the Penny News. Also, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV are in the app as well. And then, of course, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen there. Hello, Jared.
Good morning, Aaron.
Why don't you tell everybody what's going on tonight, Paragon TV, with the Five County Conference?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's the first time we've done something like this. If one remembers, we had way back, pre-pandemic, we had ourselves a Paragon TV banquet where we honored our Paragon schools and their participants and recognized the state qualifiers, state champions, and we recognized MVPs. Or Paragon Player of the Year for both boys and girls, and Coaches of the Year, coaches, boys coach and girls coach. Well, then the pandemic came, kind of threw a wrench in it. Year after that, we just brought them in studio didn't have a big gathering, and then we didn't do anything last year. We wanted to bring it back, but the problem was scheduling, because as many know, when the season's over, we jump right into baseball and softball season and track and all of that, all the spring sports, and it's hard to find time where everybody can gather. But you know who does find time, and it's always set in somebody's calendar, is the Five County Conference Awards Banquet. And we've been invited to say, to basically come and say, hey, why don't you give your awards at our banquet? And we said, no, we'll do that, and we'll stream it. So we're going to stream the Five County Conference Awards Banquet in its entirety, and then at the end, we're going to give our Paragon Players of the Year Award, hand those out to our girls Player of the Year and our boys Player of the Year, and a couple of coaches too. So we're kind of working hand in hand, because most of our schools in the Paragon Network are in the five counties, so it just made a lot of sense to go over there and do it all at once. So that's what we're doing. It's going to be broadcast live at 6:30. That's when we'll start a stream, have something going. I know they're going to be eating. Well, you know, we'll get that stream going, and then when they start handing out the awards, we'll have all of that. And you just go to ParagonTV.com, and you could watch it there if you can't be in attendance. So that's the plan. It's happening over in Sentinel tonight.
All right, so 6:30, Paragon TV. We'll have the Five County Conference Awards Banquet. We'll give away our awards as well. So, yeah, like you said, if you can't make it, just check that out on Paragon TV front page, I'm sure. Just type in Paragon TV.
Yeah.
Boom, it's
right
there.
Yeah, we'll have it right there.
All right, I mentioned Coach Rich. He's going to be in here we'll call him on Thursday. And he's going to be promoting. So over at Sayre Saturday, from noon to 2, there's going to be a youth basketball skills camp for 8 to 14-year-old boys and girls. Now, who's going to put this on? See, there's going to be a game at 4 o'clock between some semi-pro teams, the Oklahoma Outlaws and the Dodge City Gamblers. Now, the Oklahoma Outlaws, if that rings a bell to some people right now, this is the team that Lindy Waters played on before he joined the Blue, and now
they're out of Enid.
On the Thunder, I believe that's right.
Right.
I believe it's an Enid team. And so from noon to 2, there's going to be a skills camp for the youth, 8 to 14 boys and girls. Those guys will be out there. And then at 4 o'clock is the game between those two teams there at Sayre. Coach Rich will have a lot more details on that. But a really cool thing being put on there as we start the spring break week for a chance to go out and see some really good basketball in the Sayre gym. You know, Wyatt, he was disappointed. The one disappointment over the weekend that he had was he didn't get to see anybody dunk. Well, guess what? That's probably going to happen in this. So if you want to get out and see a dunk, that'll be there. But really cool that not only the game, but also giving back, having a skills camp for those kids, for the youth, 8 to 14 years old, boys and girls, 12 to 2 is the time for that. 4 o'clock's the time for the game. So we'll have Coach Rich on to explain kind of who it is, what it is, a little bit more in depth, 9:30 on Thursday morning, what's coming on over to Sayre. So some cool opportunities there for to watch some awards tonight for some youth, and then some younger kids get a chance for some skills camps as well. Basketball's not over. Even though it kind of felt like it on Saturday night, maybe just because of the exhaustion that my body felt after the intensity of all four of those games, all back to back to back to back.
Right.
But we still got Paragon TV basketball with the Merritt Oilerettes. That's a 10:30 Thursday morning. As you mentioned, we can't film it because of the OSSAA's contract with the NFHS, but we will have it right here on the air. Also on Paragon TV radio coverage, it'll have the scoreboard there and whatnot for Merritt versus Pecola. Oilerettes making their first state tournament appearance since 2010. They were right on the doorstep last year, unable to get past Latta in that area consolation game. This year, they lost the regional finals, as they did a year ago, to Hooker. But then they came back up at Hennessy and played three unbelievably close games. All three of those games, a combined 7 points, differentiated the Oilerettes and their opponents. 2 1-point wins sandwiched around a 5-point win over Watonga. They're in the area consolation finals. They got behind Riverside. I remember seeing 16-2 on the scoring app that I was checking just as that game got going, as we were kind of in a lull between games there at the Big House. And then next thing you know, you had it pulled up. you know, on another screen as we're watching them catch up, a close game. Ella Porter knocked down a baseline jumper. She ran down the baseline and pulled up in the lane, kissed it off the glass to take the lead with 10 seconds left. And then the Oilerettes got the stop that they had to have. A long three-pointer hit the front of the rim, and Merritt beat Riverside 50-49. So congratulations, Coach Doherty and his team. You know, he was in here, what, a month ago maybe, or 3 weeks? And he said that he thought they still had something more, another level to get to. And, you know, when you look at those scores, the games with the Oilerettes, the one they lost, they didn't even get out of the 30s against Hooker. But the offense really kind of kicked it in gear up there at Hennessy, and all those games were mid to high 40s and even got into 50. And with the defense they play, man, if they start scoring 45 to 55 points, they might be a real threat in this 2A girls state tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just doing it. Let me think about this. We had Lance on. We had Doherty on. We had Brock on. I'm not saying
just
we're the reason they got the state, but I'm not saying it. Just heads up, coaches.
I'd say the proof is in the pudding.
I don't think Rogers needed our help. He got him in there, but yeah. Anywho, yeah, they're a team that merit that is, if you're not ready for them, they play such a good team brand of basketball, Pecola could have some trouble with them. Because if they can get that scoring up there like they can do, then yeah, they can give some teams some fits. I don't expect, even though it's number two Pecola and everyone's just going to go ahead and pencil in Pecola in that semifinal, I wouldn't do that. I'd keep the eraser ready to go because Merritt, again, plays a good brand of team basketball, which is so fun. We were talking about that yesterday. I love that when it's not – I mean, they got great players. Don't get me wrong. You mentioned them right there, but not one – they all gel well, and that's a tough team to beat. And you got a good coach like Doherty who's you know, since he's taken them over, they've gotten better each year. And this is that next step for the big goal, and that's the gold ball. So congratulations to Merritt. That's awesome. Rooting for him on Thursday, and hopefully they get the upset win. I think the sky's the limit.
Yep, Pecola number two in class 2A, 25-1. They're just barely behind Howe in the points to be number one. They actually have more first-place votes than Howe does at 27 versus 18, just 6 points behind in that last ranking. Their lone loss was to 3A's Huebner. Did they make the 3A state tournament? They did not. But yeah, tough matchup, obviously. But once you get to this, once you get to this point, all of them are going to be tough. So we'll see what happens there on Thursday morning. The other brackets, 4A is today. Maybe, you know, Sealing Hydro Weekly was one of those in the Class A girls, a highly anticipated matchup. Once you saw the brackets on opposite sides, okay, can we get that one? There's one of those in 4A, and it is Tuttle and Classen SAS on the girls' side. Tuttle's been number one all year, defending state champions. Classen SAS is actually, I think at the last time I looked, they were number six nationally. And so people are thinking, wait a minute, how can they not even be number one in their own class in Oklahoma when they're a top 10 nationally ranked team? So that's one that I know people are anticipating. Stumbling blocks, Kingfisher Weatherford, they play the first game right now actually going on in the Big House. They're in the 4A girls bracket. But Tuttle and Weatherford would be a semifinal. Holland Hall and Classen SAS, if the seeds hold, would be the other semifinal that would kind of derail that matchup. But that's one I know statewide people want to see, the Lady Tigers of Tuttle against Classen SAS.
How you rank nationally, but you're not ranked number one in your own state?
They've struggled.
What ranking is this?
It was like an ESPN nationally ranking. Well, here's the deal. Classen went to – they were in one of those big, like, national tournaments, the Nike Tournament of Champions out at Phoenix, and they beat number six nationally, New Hope. They beat number 15 nationally, Bishop McNamara. I have no idea where these schools are from. And then they lost by two in the final to, at that time, number five nationally, Etiwanda. So they stepped away from Oklahoma and won some huge games. I know their star, God, what's her name? Dariana Littlefield Page, maybe. She's going down to Baylor to play her high school basketball. Here's the deal. You're a big proponent of, until you knock off the champs, they get to be number one, right?
To an extent, yes.
Okay.
That's my thought early in the year.
Well, Tuttle's lost once in a tournament of champions outside the state.
Okay.
And
I agree.
You know, and Classen's lost once. Here's the deal. Here's the cool thing about it. If they'll both take care of business, any of the talk won't matter because we'll know, at least on one Saturday in March, which team is better.
Right. Weatherford up 13-12 in the first.
That could be a good game. That's number four and number six, Weatherford and Kingfisher. You know, I've seen Kingfisher a couple of different times, and if you let Allison Green, number 21, she's a senior, left-handed, probably 5'10" or so. She's the one that's had she had 30 in the first half here. I think she had 7 first quarter threes that night back in December. I wouldn't imagine that Coach Givens will just let her set out there and shoot, but that's a good matchup for number four, number six in the quarterfinals to get things going there in the Big House on the 4A side. Weatherford boys also are in to the state tournament. They'll play. They're ranked number 12. They'll play number 3 Heritage Hall at 6 tonight. So those are kind of the local flair. There are two teams, Jared. Two teams with a chance to pull a Tushka, as it were. 1 in 3A, Vanita. And 1 in 4A, Blanchard. What I mean by pulling a Tushka, unranked in the state tournament.
And it can be done because we just saw it last week.
And the Blanchard boys are unranked. The Blanchard girls are number 20. They're the very last one. Hmm. They're in there as well. They play Classen, SAS, here in the first game, or the quarterfinals at 1:30. So it's kind of an idea. You got any picks?
Oh, man, these large schools.
Got any picks for it?
I don't know. I'll be solid with Tuttle. Tuttle girls.
I don't see how.
How can you?
Here's the deal. I want to see a team that can beat them.
Right.
Because I've seen them. They're unbelievable.
Right.
Now, maybe Classen SAS is that team. I don't know if Scotty's seen them or not. You know, he's around with Clinton, seeing different teams here and there.
Yeah.
You know, but gosh, watching Tuttle, it's hard to imagine a team better than them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got every piece that you could possibly want. Will it be a Dale sweep?
Man, you're getting in that muddy water of I don't know. I don't want to put out false narratives where I'm going to pretend like I know something. I don't know that class very well.
Okay,
their records, maybe. go ahead.
Here's a question. This, you don't even have to pick a team. But in Class 4A boys, will the champion be a public school or a private school? There's 3 publics versus 5 privates. You've got Kingfisher and Blanchard playing each other, so that kind of stinks, knocking one out no matter what. Then also Weatherford. Then on the public school side, Crossings, Holland Hall, Mount St. Mary, Victory, and Heritage Hall. Will the champion be public or private?
I'll say private. This is boys, right?
Yes.
I'll say private because I kind of picked Heritage Hall a few weeks ago. So I'll stick with that. So I'll say private. And I'll do you one better. I think it's Heritage Hall. I think Heritage Hall wins it all in 4A. I have a feeling you're going Kingfisher.
I was just going to say public. Because I'm clearly on the public school side, and you're a private school guy.
No, I'm not. Don't put words in my mouth. I mean,
than obvious. I can't believe you just did that.
You know how I feel about that.
I'll be interested to see Heritage Hall Weatherford.
I was
super impressed with Weatherford when I saw him. Nixon, the freshman, he's a load, but also the guy. If you watch him, you'll notice him because he doesn't miss. Cade Jennings is a heck of a point guard, and he can absolutely fill it up. So I'll be interested to see what that final is today. Victory Christian, man, they smoked Heritage Hall earlier this year, I think, if I remember right. I mean, smoked them. They've beaten Hall and Hall, yeah, 67-41. They've beaten Hall and Hall 1-2, but then Heritage Hall came back and beat them later on in January by 3. Yep, that's the times they've played. Hall and Hall. I don't know. Good luck scoring on Kingfisher. That's what I know.
Yeah.
Good luck scoring on Kingfisher.
Yeah. Yeah, this I'm glad you mentioned it because I'd forgot that they're starting today. My mind is still stuck last week that everything starts on Thursday. This Weatherford Kingfisher game is already, I mean, it's going to be tight. 19-19, 3 minutes left in the half. They're just trading buckets at this point.
That means Kingfisher's doing a better job than they did in the regular season. Seems like Weatherford beat them pretty good. Yeah, 65-47.
I am very interested in the Weatherford boys. They seem to be playing their best basketball right now.
Man, they were good, dude. They were good. Yeah. I was really impressed with them. Not only just when I saw them, but also they went through that run. They won their own tournament. They're coming out of the Christmas break that had some pretty good teams in it. And so, you know, a lot of people thought they were a little bit underranked at only getting to 12. And they beat Tuttle, who was a team that was ranked in the top 8 all year long in the finals of that tournament. And then they lost by a point later on, or the last game before the playoffs started. Played Kingfisher decent, only a 12-point loss. Beat Newcastle. Yeah, we'll see. Coach Bull and the Eagles. All right, what else you got? Anything else high school basketball-wise?
Nah, just look forward to tonight. And interested to see how especially the 4A, how that shakes out. And of course, looking forward to Thursday and with Merritt. You know, I mean, we mentioned Tushka, unranked and making a run at it. There's your inspiration for any team out there that thinks, well, it's going to be one and done for us in the state tournament. Not so fast. You play your good you play solid basketball. Everybody has a chance here. That's what makes this tournament so fun. You never know.
If there was a surprise in the 2A girls bracket, at least from the I think a lot of people think is really good.
Who's that?
Hooker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're only number 4.
No, I think they're really good.
But I think a lot of people think they're a really good team.
Yes. Yes, they are really good.
I'll be pulling for Merritt. I'll be pulling for a Merritt-Dale semifinal. I've known the coach at Dale for a long time, Eric Smith. He's won a couple of titles at Alva. He's been down at Dale for the last couple of years, lost in the finals a few years ago to Howe there with the Lady Pirates. I'll be rooting for him and Coach Doherty to meet in the semifinals. That way I won't care who wins.
You're a winner.
It'll be somebody in the finals playing for a title on Saturday. It'd be sweet if those two guys were able to get wins on Thursday and meet there at noon on Friday at the fairgrounds. This is the last week. It's going to be another good one. I think we're set up for another really good week.
I do too. I do too.
I wonder if that.
Where are we at with that game?
Doesn't 10 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. seem pretty close together? That can't be right.
You were confused when we went to break.
Yeah, I was. Okay, so.
You okay? What's going on?
Oh, well, I'm going to try to figure it out. Watch this. I'm going to try to figure it out right here on the air. Let me pull these back up.
Something to do.
Times.
Okay.
The times of the title games on Saturday. Okay. So when you look at the boys' brackets, you got 2A boys 6:45. That makes sense. 3A boys at 1:15. That's fine. And then 5 o'clock for the 4A boys. So you got 5 o'clock for the boys of 4A. I would assume that was probably the first game in the evening session. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock, 6:45, and then 8:30. So that's the times there. Now, in the morning session, or the afternoon, you've got a 1:15, you've got a 10 a.m., and you've got a 10:45. I know what it is.
What is it?
It's going to be a 10 a.m. for 2A girls. The 4A girls needs to be 11:45, not 10:45.
The other is
an 11:15, or a 1:15, I mean.
Okay.
Clear. Something in there. 1:30 probably is actually what it needs to be. Because there's an hour 45 between all these, right? Or is there an hour and a half?
Hour and a half.
No. That's 5 to 6:45.
Oh, so they're going hour 45?
Why? Yeah.
They went an hour and a half the other day. Okay.
They actually went 2 hours the other day. On Saturday.
On Saturday they did, but yeah. On like Thursday.
Yeah, I'm talking about Saturday. I'm talking about
games. Saturday, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about title games. Because they went 12, 2, 5, and 7 last Saturday. Looks like they've got an hour 45 here. But they've also got 2 extra games to squeeze in, which is why they're starting earlier. I think it's 10 o'clock, 11:45, and then 1:30. Then 5 o'clock, 6:45, and 8:30. That will work. Anyhow.
There we go.
Somebody needs to tell the OSSA to change that. I'm sure we'll get right on it. Calvin Ridley yesterday. Man, what a wild deal this was. So, you know, he's been a name with the production that he's had as the one of the receivers for the Falcons early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty hot name in some different trade stuff leading up to the draft. He was only involved in like a couple of games last year and then set out the rest of the year for mental health problems. And so, you know, when this story broke yesterday, there was a lot of, man, there have been people contacting the Falcons. And to this point, they hadn't. It was kind of a baffling situation until yesterday. It was like, man, they're not fielding calls on this guy. They won't discuss any possible trades with this guy. What are the Falcons? I mean, are they that entrenched? Here's the deal. They knew this was coming down the pike. Mm. And so you kind of got to give a solid to the Falcons for not playing dirty pool, right?
Because trading him knowing he's going to get suspended.
That's right.
And, yeah, you handcuff another team. Yeah.
That's right. You got to. I mean, I'm sure that there would be a big to-do if they would have traded him and this happened, and then you find out, yeah, they knew.
Could the league have told them behind closed doors, don't you deal this dude. We're looking into him.
100% they knew something, yes.
Yeah.
You
hold off on anything because you could get punished if you do. We're telling you right now, don't trade him. Don't move him.
I think that something to that effect.
Maybe both. Maybe like, yeah, no problem.
Maybe they knew, you know, the league said, hey, we're looking in this gambling deal. We've got him dead to rights. And then the Falcons go, okay, we'll be, you know, out of good faith, we'll keep him here. And then after it's announced, if somebody wants to take a chance on him, then, hey, go right ahead. Knowing that he'll be suspended for the entire year. You know, that's on the other team and everybody knows the situation. Which I would assume that this isn't one of those things that the entire league knew, just the Falcons knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then everybody kind of learns at the same time. So apparently what has happened is he played a 3, 5, and 18 parlay. Falcons in there, you know, to win. So betting on his own team through an app. And like the policing agency that the NFL has hired to kind of watch this stuff found it. Mm. Or it was reported to them. And then, you know, the ball got rolling from there. You know, when Vegas became an NFL team, we had this conversation about, well, how are you going to stop this? How are you going to keep some guy that's, you know, are they just not going to stay like the visiting teams when they fly in for a road game in Vegas? Are they not going to stay on the strip? You know, how are they going to be able to watch this stuff? Should they be able to watch this stuff? You know, when you think of gambling, you know, you think of casinos, obviously. Well, are they not allowed to go to the casino? Are they just not allowed in the sports book? You know, how is this all going to be policed? Apparently, the NFL has a pretty tight stranglehold on their guys, at least through different apps. Now, I don't know what they do if I guess they would be able to look back at the cameras if a guy just walked in and placed a bet on the sports book if they were there, right?
Right.
And so that maybe not as much of a concern as what's happening in other states now all of a sudden as far as gambling on your team or whatever. So I see how they caught him. I totally understand the idea of the games can't be fixed. You can't know who's winning. A player can't affect this, right? But he wasn't even playing. He was away from the team. Wasn't even going to he was away from the organization at home. And he makes this bet just on a whim. So there's a lot there to unpack. I mean, obviously the biggest fear is that some guy gets caught up in an operation and starts trying to fix games on the field. I mean, that's clearly the huge issue in the NFL's mind. So I guess
they quickly stated that it wasn't the case. They said none of these didn't affect games.
No, well, he wasn't playing.
Right.
You know, first off, he wasn't actually on the field. But he picked his team to win.
Picked his team to win. But what's scary about all this is you got a player who's in contact with other players and say, listen, I made a pretty substantial bet on this total hypothetical bet on you guys to lose. You'll get a cut if you drop the
game for sure.
Touchdown pass. Listen, I'll give you a cut, man.
That's the scare.
That's why this is a big deal.
But he didn't do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he didn't do it.
He didn't do that, obviously, with everything's out there. But I guess I have a hard time believing this isn't just a little bit hypocritical of the NFL and in any sport. Because the clamoring for the sports gambling aspect of this, everybody's taking their money.
Yeah.
If it's available. I mean, you walk in down to Paycom Center. You see tons of signage for casinos in this state, one in particular.
Absolutely.
And so is there a way for the NFL, is there a way, because you're betting on your own team, which has been taboo, obviously, back to the White Sox, for instance, but, you know, apparently they were trying to throw games. But is there a way that, say, you could make, I don't know, a money line bet on your team to win that's okay? Or is it, if you bet on your own team, you're done? And apparently it's, at least as far as this looks, if you bet period on football, you're done. With the way that the NFL and other leagues also are becoming more in cahoots with the gambling aspect of sports, does this need to at least be a little bit flexible to avoid this type of situation? Or is it one of those, hey, you know it walking in, no gambling on football or whatever sport you play?
Listen, rules are rules. I get it. Some people hate rules. You know,
are there rules? Or do they make them up when they pop up?
Well, we hope not. You'd hope this is a rule. My point, where I was going was, if this was a rule in place, mm-hmm. and he knew it and he was breaking it, yeah, you deserve to get punished. Sorry, even you don't have to agree with it. You know, can't drive 55. I get it, but on that side of it, if they just came at him and go, oh, you weren't supposed to do this, we're going to suspend you for a year, I could see where the problem was. I think what your original question was, is it okay to gamble on your own team to win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's more of a motivator to go out and say, man, if I help my team win, I get a little side hustle here. But the problem, it's a fine line. It's easier to lose than win. So that's where it gets a little muddy and a little scary, is how much would the gambling influence the outcome of a game in the latter sense, where it would be someone trying to lose a game, you know? That's why this is such a mess, and and the NFL's not ready to. I mean, they don't want to go down that path. You know, they don't even want to try to go down that path to say, hey, okay, it's okay if you gamble on your own team to win. That's fine. You'd have to present those receipts and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the rule, and he broke it. If it's in place, which I'm sure it is. I mean, with Vegas coming in, you know, they saw this coming because they already had people outside monitoring bets by turns out one of their players. So yeah. you know that they're that was there. I'm just asking, should it be changed, or is it just such a slippery slope with everything that could happen? And the negatives of exactly what you just said, when you've got a situation like you had in the replacements, where the kicker's going through packs of heaters on the sideline, and scared to death he's going to die if he makes a field goal. You know what I mean?
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I don't even know if I really have decided.
It's hard.
This is. Just because, you know, before. You know, even back to like Jimmy the Greek, you know, he was kind of a specialty thing brought in on those on the CBS show in the pregame. He like had that was just kind of him, but the league itself was backed way away from it, right? I mean, it just, you know, it was. I mean, how funny would it be to it happen?
They pretended there was never gambling.
That's right, yeah. And it would happen on Sunday nights. Where Al Michaels clearly knew what the line was, and he would make different veiled references to, oh yeah, that one mattered to more than others,
yeah.
And that kind of stuff,
right?
Whereas now, I mean, it's just openly out
there.
Makes
you wonder, was he a degenerate gambler?
He could have been.
He knew. It was like, I just lost.
I mean, that was the big deal on Musburger, right? Everybody knew he gambled, and so you could decide who he bet on by the way he called the game.
Yeah, right.
And when he started getting upset at a certain team winning by too much, you're like, oh, he had the underdog here. But I just wonder if this is a. I just wonder what are the stipulations going to be? Will there be rule changes? Will they just stick with what's happening? Because the problem is, or what makes it harder, if you're the NFL. As you've jumped in bed with the gambling aspect of your sport, is the fact that monthly, it feels like, other states outside of just Vegas or outside of Nevada and New Jersey, there's all kinds of other states that are adopting sports gambling.
Yeah.
To the tune of almost half of them now. And so that, you know, that just makes it that much harder to police, and it opens up that many more avenues for these guys to make these bets. And you know, for Calvin Ridley, he hadn't really said much. I mean, he did send out a tweet, I only bet $1,500. I don't have a gambling problem. Which, with the money he makes, I would agree with
that. Did anybody said, I bet I can get you gambling by the end of the day?
I'm sure somebody did on Twitter.
Somebody pointed that out to me last night. It's like, this has Dumb and Dumber scene all over it. But he said he only bet $1,500. That's
what he said.
Like one time?
Three different parlays, $1,500. Suspended for violating the league rules. So they're we knew that they had to have something set in there. Hmm. You know, and then, of course, you've got all the people making the. All the people making the, you know, the how long of the suspension versus Ray Rice for, you know, what he did, beating his fiance 2 games. Adrian got 6, which was the rest of the season at that point for the child abuse. Greg Hardy, 10, down to 4. Ezekiel Elliott got 6. He got 17. Josh Gordon, 6. You know, there's always somebody that wants to talk about that. And there's a lot of people that are... You know, I think there's a lot of people that see the hypocrisy of it a little bit, too, in that, wait a minute, you guys, as the league, don't have any problem taking that cash and almost promoting that, and then one of ours does it, you know. So
How often did we see that Caesars commercial all season
absolutely.
Long?
Absolutely.
Especially because the playoffs got closer and in the Super Bowl. I mean, in what, a couple years, we're going to have a Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. There's one side of, like, you want to embrace it, but I can see where it could corrupt the sport. I totally get it, and I think the NFL's still scared at this point of crossing that threshold. So they're this is why this punishment's so harsh. Because you know it's going to happen. I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid it's going to happen. Where somebody's going to bet against their own team, and they're going to go out and shank a field goal or an extra point or something. Even if they win, like, hey, you know, if I miss this extra point, we don't win by three.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what I mean? It's got to give the NFL a little bit of satisfaction, at least, knowing that the measures that they have in place currently to monitor this stuff work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. they clearly work because, you know, of the way that they were able to not, I mean, just to catch it.
I mean, he even admitted it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. He said, I bet 1,500 total I don't have a gambling problem. Looks like
some would beg to differ when you have $1,500 to burn. Whatever.
I mean, it's like us betting $20.
I guess so. Yeah.
That's. I mean,
even I wouldn't do that though. I'm not a gambler. I was very close betting on Cincinnati to beat Kansas City, but I pulled out the last second. I can't do this. I cannot put $50 down on this game.
See, that'd have been like $5,000 to him.
Yeah. And now I regret it.
I just think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If it's going to be this stringent, which in a lot of ways I think it should be because of what you're saying. Keeping it out of affecting the outcome of games is the most important part of all this. The integrity of the game has to be in check. Update from that 4A girls state tournament. Uh-oh. It was 29-25, I think. Weatherford was up 4 over Kingfisher midway through the third quarter. All right, it's time. What's on Jared's mind?
Man, it's been nothing but basketball, really. Just getting ready for tonight and the rest of the coming up this weekend with some more responsibilities on my plate involving basketball and a broadcast. So, really, that's been it. I'm looking forward to spring break. I can tell you that. That's next week for a lot of the kiddos. And I think the weather's going to cooperate, too. And I've been really, really been pushed here in-house to get the sticks out again and start swinging them. What do you think?
Supposedly.
I'm just tired of embarrassing myself.
Supposedly, at some point, there's going to be a qualifier. An in-house qualifier. Now, Jared, there's no reason for you not to be involved in this.
Okay, what is this? What does that mean? Can you bring it to air?
Sure.
An in-house qualifier for what?
The BBJ.
Oh, is this why? Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't see a date for the BBJ, so maybe not. But that's supposedly what's going on here. There are two spots available of the four. Blake is exempt from qualifying. For obvious reasons.
Of course.
And I am exempt from qualifying.
So there's two spots up. Usually those are reserved for...
No, that's the qualifier. Gabe, Sean, Uncle Jimmy, you. Out and play. No, this is going to be a fun event.
I would have no chance.
Well, that's why you got to get the clubs out and practice.
Zero chance.
Get you a little practicing going.
All I need to do is hit up the driving range.
Go do some practicing.
Get back into the flow of things. I've been absent from the game, especially once my kid got older. I've been going to more softball and basketball practice than the driving range and golf course. So I guess I need to find a balance.
Do a little practicing.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with everybody listening. I'm just tired of embarrassing myself. I love going out. Don't kid yourself. I love going out, hanging out with everybody, having a good time. It's always a lot of fun. But then when it comes to me trying to chip in and I fly the green, I'm like, good night, what am I doing out here? But it like anything in life, it just takes a lot of practice. I get it. So yeah, well, I'd love to go to that though.
Well, maybe you could have BBJ. Could have a secret weapon on your side,
a coach maybe.
Yeah
maybe. I put this right here, and maybe it inspires me. I put a picture.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out where to hang that.
I just
of Arnie,
set it there.
Jack and Gary.
Yeah, maybe.
At the par 3 contest.
Maybe that'll inspire me. The Players is this weekend. Is that memorable?
It is. Players Championship coming up this weekend.
Well, since I'm free Saturday, maybe I'll be watching a lot of that, taking notes. I've been watching a lot of golf. Watch the what was on recently? It was
Arnie.
The
Bay Hill. Bay Hill was on Saturday. Scottie Scheffler is rolling. He won at Phoenix. He won at Bay Hill. One of our fine listeners and also sponsor, Tyler, he said, man, this is more like a U.S. Open than a tournament at Arnie's place. And apparently it was. I was driving back on Sunday.
Well, I don't know.
Greens were hard. I watched a little bit Saturday night, kind of the replay of it in the boy, the rough around the greens was, and then the ball would just disappear. You know, Scotty only shot even par on Sunday and won. That's a U.S. Open type score.
Did that end early on Sunday?
Maybe like 30 or 45 minutes earlier than normal. Normally, it's about a 5 o'clock end. It felt like it was 4:15, 4:30.
Felt like it ended a lot earlier than most.
And it may be a time thing.
Where were they at? Were they
Florida?
Florida. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if they were in Florida or is it always in Florida?
Yeah, it's always at Bay Hill.
I didn't know
it's
if
that
it was
course. That Arnie built.
If it's either one of his, because he has a few.
Yeah, this is his main. This was his
right.
baby.
Anyways, no, I just.
Rory had some pretty interesting things to say afterwards. Of course, he shot 8 over on the weekend after leading after the first round. It's amazing to me that guy, he's pretty spot on a lot of the times on his commentary about golf, except when it comes to the course is getting hard. Then he is the biggest whiner ever. And if you think about the tournaments that he's won, the majors that he's won, there's been some common themes. It's been kind of wet, which means the ball doesn't bounce around much. And so it's easier to hit fairways. It's easier to control it on the greens because everything's so much more soft. You know, the Open Championship he won, pretty benign conditions compared to what it can be.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you is it feels like when the courses get hard, Rory struggles.
Well, he might know.
Maybe the reason why he hasn't won the Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Masters in a month, Players this week, and Jared getting his game in shape for the qualifier. It's going to be a fun spring of golf, I guess.
We'll see.
I'll just tell you this. If you're serious, here's what you need to. I know you're talking about driving range. I get it. And it's not as much fun, but where you'll be able to make up the most shots is getting on the putting green and
I've been
chipping.
I've told that more than once. I've been told that by a
college
coach.
Spend like 75% of your time there, 25% of your time in the other
spot. I've been
spot.
Told that a lot. So if you can putt, Chip and putt.
Because here's the deal, and I'm not kidding you when I say this. I think you and I could go out there. We could both hit tee shots on every hole, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we could switch balls.
Okay.
And I think I would beat you.
Don't doubt it.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Now you can't just hit it out of bounds on purpose.
No. Well,
you know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
But it's just because the rest of it, you know, that's something that I've always read about. When you know, like pros versus even good amateur golfers, that's the case. They can switch balls after the tee shots and the pro will beat them. No matter how close to the green they can drive it, you know what I'm saying? But also, I'm looking here on the ESPN website at the men's tournament challenge, bracket challenge.
Yeah.
Skinny on Sports 2022 is the group. Just one lone soldier.
Well, we need to pick it up.
Me. I need to post that.
Oh, shoot. Maybe I need to.
I need to post
too.
The link. Come play with us. The brackets. Maybe everybody's waiting for the brackets to be announced on Sunday.
Yeah, that's probably a big
thing. I was just trying to get it out there. That way, you're not rushing around.
I'm trying
to get everything done.
I'm
so,
going to be on more than one.
I need to.
My buddies are picking up the old T-shirt bracket.
Yeah, I know. You sent me that link. I need to figure out how to get there also so I can participate.
Yeah, that's always fun. You can get a bunch of cool stuff if you win.
But Skinny on Sports 2022 bracket. I've got it set up. Just come join the group. And if you want to wait till Monday or Sunday night when the bracket gets released, that's fine too. But you can be there right now. Tyler Harrison and the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People Before Property is the group's motto. It's free to play. We'll have a prize at the end. We'll figure out what that is, and we'll tell you. Is that what we're waiting on? People are waiting on the prize.
It's going to be a big prize.
Andy got to go to Bedlam Basketball for winning the football season-long contest.
He did?
Yep. He did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that we said Thunder tickets, but I don't think they ever sent them to us this time. So, and if they did,
they would.
If they did, they got lost in email. So,
I think they would. I'm trying to get any kind of.
So it's Bedlam Hoops instead.
Well, that's all right too.
Normally that'd have been fun.
Yeah, anytime Bedlam.
It was a great game as an overtime game.
Yeah, any Bedlam. Listen, when the rivalry is played, does it really? I mean,
you know what we could do. With the timing of the tournament ending, speaking of Bedlam, you know what? Bedlam baseball series is right around this time.
Yeah.
It's Masters weekend. I'm going to be in Mexico.
Mexico.
Maybe we can figure out a way to get somebody to that.
That'd be fun.
Everybody have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening. Hey!